When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Zach Clinton.
Hey, thank you, Jim. I'm Zach Clinton, and today's program is going to lift your spirit if you or someone you know is down, maybe suffering a setback or an ailment, perhaps one of those big T traumas or the type of burden that makes you feel like it's just too much to carry. Be it physical, mental, or spiritual pain or suffering, my friend, you must remember that you're never alone. Let me reiterate that. Never alone. I actually cover this in my new book titled Even If, Developing the Faith, Mindset, Strength, and Endurance of Those Who Are Built Different. Well, today to drive home that point, I'm going to be speaking to Dr. Kurt Thompson. He's an acclaimed psychiatrist, author, and AACC keynote speaker. His new book is much needed for these troubled times. It's titled The Deepest Place, Suffering and the Formation of Hope. So much great content to share with you guys today, so let's go ahead and jump right in. Today, we're going to be joined by a very special guest. He's a dear friend of mine personally, as well as all of us here at the AACC and Ignite Men's Impact Weekend. His name is Dr. Kurt Thompson. Let me tell you guys, he is a best-selling author of several books that I'm sure some of you have read, that I have gleaned so much wisdom and knowledge and experience from all that he has done in this space. But also, he is a sought-after speaker, and he is a renowned psychiatrist. We're blessed to have him today. Dr. Kurt, thank you so much for joining me, my friend.
Zach, always a pleasure, my friend, to be in the same room with you.
You know, Dr. Kurt, something that we really lean on here at Ignite is we love to say that we want to align men's everyday passions with God's eternal purpose for their life. Something that we have at our Ignite Men's Impact Weekend, we have workshops where, yeah, we dive into how to become a better husband or how to become a better dad or how to become a man after God's own heart, but we also have fun with it, right? We have workshops on sports like football and basketball and golf, and we got a little pickleball in there, and hunting and fishing. You're a busy man, Dr. Kurt, so I want to ask you up front, what are some things that you're doing for fun in this season of your life, and what are some of your daily passions that you feel like God aligns with his purpose for you?
Well, my wife retired. She has more time, so I enjoy, you know, we like to play games in this house,
yeah.
And so we have not had nearly as much time to do that, but have had time to do that, which it's a great way to connect with her. I have in the past enjoyed cycling And I have been away from that for a while, but am nudging back toward that. Mm. Grateful to be able to do that. And I would also say that I really enjoy time spent with our adult kids. Mm. They're not one of our daughter lives out of town. Our son lives locally. But relationally, I'm just really enjoying the opportunity, even when the five of us and my wife and me, my daughter and her husband and her son all get together. And so I'm mostly because, Zach, I don't deserve the wealth of relationships that I have.
Yeah,
I really enjoy being in the room with those people, doing anything we can do.
I can really align with you there and relate because my family, there's some of my very best friends, right? My wife, Evelyn, my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother-in-law, my nieces. I love, like you said, being in the same spaces, the same rooms as them. I love game nights. Now, let me ask, are you a Rook kind of guy, like the old games? Are you like a Sorry, a Trouble? What's your go-to game?
You know, I like playing games mostly because they, when they help me connect with people, because like my wife, they're like, if you play Scrabble, or word games or whatever. Like I'm suddenly like a third grader in the room with her. It's not really fair. But we do a lot of that. We do board games. We play a lot of cards. Mm. I enjoy doing that. So those are the ways that we like to have fun with game night.
I love it. You know, I wanted to start the conversation off a little light and airy and talk about fun because a lot of our conversation today is going to be geared toward when life is not so much fun, right? We're going to be talking about suffering. We're going to be talking about shame. But it really kind of reminds me, it takes me back to scripture and helping men especially understand that pain is inevitable. I think of James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. John 16:33, in this world you will face trouble. Job 14:1, man born of woman is few of days and full of trouble, right? So it's not a matter of if. As much as it is a matter of when. But Dr. Kurtz, something that we're going to dive into today is not just, you know, what is suffering and how do we experience suffering in life, but also there can be significance. There can be good things that are found in the midst of it. You have a new book that's titled The Deepest Place, Suffering and the Formation of Hope. As we begin, Dr. Kurt, what is at the heart of that message and what do you want every reader to really walk away with upon the conclusion of its pages?
We live in a world that is committed to in many respects, committed to reducing or eliminating suffering wherever we find it. And there is a great nobility in this, in fact, that this is the mission that we envision for ourselves in the West is born out of the church. It's born out of the church in the first 600 to 800 years after the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
So that whole notion of our going into places in order to heal suffering is nothing short of what the gospel is about.
Right.
At the same time, in some respects, that notion has been hijacked by a particular spirit of the age in which we also think that any suffering that we can't resolve is necessarily somehow either to be ignored or to be framed in such a way that it's not really real. And as it turns out, the biblical narrative is the only story in the world that actually honors suffering.
Yeah.
Because it tells a story of the world as it really is. Mm. And the world as it really is one in which suffering is the expected response of a world that was made with the intention of great beauty, but now sits under its own weight in running away from its creator.
Right.
But we live in a world that continues to tell us we shouldn't suffer, we shouldn't have to suffer. Mm. And we're not saying that suffering in and of itself is a good thing, but we are saying that the God of the biblical narrative, that God is even going to take suffering and not just transform us with it, but transform the suffering itself. And this takes a great deal of imaginative work on our part because, dude, look, I don't want to read a book that does anything other than tell me how to suffer less.
Yeah.
That's the book I want to read on suffering. I don't even want to read my book because, you know, my book is an attempt to try to invite us to pay attention to the world the way it really is. And the beauty, though, of being in relationship with Jesus is that he takes us so seriously. Mm. And what is serious about what it means to be human is that if you're human, if you've got a pulse, you're going to be suffering. Right. And if it's not evident and obvious to you right now, give it a day, give it a week.
Yeah.
It's going to find you. And even if it's not evident, I can tell you that there are parts of your story even now that are suffering, but that you and I, we both know how we have worked really hard to simply not pay attention, yeah. to put that part of our story out of our conscious awareness, mm. such that I don't have to pay attention to it. But as Jesus says, look, it's not those who are well. It's not the parts of you that are okay that I'm coming for. Mm. The parts of you that are suffering are the parts that I'm coming for. But I'm not coming just to resolve them, just to get rid of them, just to make them go away. I'm coming to invite you to partner with me for their full healing. And that healing often doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
But I want you to know that I'm even going to use the suffering itself as a way for you to discover how deeply loved you are. Mm. And in some cases that you can only know in the face and place of that suffering to begin with.
Mm. It's so good as we talk about the importance of suffering and why it even exists, what God can use it for, conforming us to the image of his son, as you mentioned. I'm reminded of, you know, Rich Froning is a guy who is a CrossFitter. He has a ministry that's called Into the Storm. And there's this story of the buffalo, right, is the only animal that runs into the midst of life's storms, in a sense. A lot of us, Dr. Kurt, try to outrun our pain, try to outrun our suffering, only to find ourselves mm-hmm. prolonged in it even longer. Now, not like you said, nobody wants to suffer, right, in a sense. Nobody's like inviting God, please God, welcome it into my life type of thing. And nobody is asking, nobody's trying to prolong it. But Dr. Kurt, as we continually sometimes shoot ourselves in the foot and we have all of these self-inflicting wounds and suffering, what are some of the biggest contributing factors that you really do think prolong these seasons of suffering in our lives?
There are probably many things, Zach, that do that. I mean, I would say two general domains that we could reflect on would be, one, you know, it's easy for us to name things that have happened to us.
Yeah.
I had a person, you know, a particular experience with my family of origin in which I was mistreated or I was sexually abused, or yeah. there's a range of different things. My father was a raging alcoholic, or things that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I can identify those things, and we can sometimes have a response like, I'm just not going to pay attention to that. That's in the past. I can't do anything about that. But part of the problem with ignoring that is because of then what that means that we are doing to ourselves. And this is, as I said earlier, it's the largest category by far of how it is that we are suffering, that we tell ourselves stories mm-hmm. about the nature of the things that happened to us.
Right.
And we think that it's my parents who are the resource of my suffering, or the thing that happened to me when I was 15 or when I was 25, that is the reason that I suffer.
Mm-hmm.
When in fact, one of the most important and contributing factors to how it is that I suffer has everything to do with the story that I now tell about those things wow. that have happened to me. Hmm. This does not mean that the things that happened to me are of no consequence.
Right.
What is significant is the story that we are telling about the thing that has happened to me.
Yeah.
In the moment that the snake begins the conversation with the woman in the garden,
yep.
we are given access to the story that was being told publicly, in that the snake has a conversation with her and she has a conversation with him. And she, words are spoken publicly that are recorded. What we're not told exactly is what's the story that she's telling internally
yeah.
about the story that she's having with the snake.
Mm.
And the thing is, like, that's happening for all of us all the time. You and I are talking right now while the whole time, like, there is a part of us that's saying, like, well, I'm really either enjoying this or like,
yeah.
you know, you might say, like, gosh, I'm kind of like, Kurt, could you please kind of get on with it? Would you, like, right there? There's a story. But we might say that, oh, I'm enjoying this. And, like, and that's really consistent, which is true,
yeah.
consistent with what's actually happening out here. But the point being is that, like, the woman is necessarily going to tell a story internally, so is her husband, about the story that's happening in front of them. And we're doing this all the time.
Yeah.
And so much of our suffering then ends up being this collection, a library's worth of stories that we tell about ourselves, but we're not aware that we're doing that.
Mm.
the story in Mark 5 of the woman who has the bleeding problem, and she suffered at the hand of many doctors and spent everything that she had. And she has a story that, like, I have a problem with my bleeding, and I've heard about Jesus. She does the thing, commando healing. She tugs on the thing, and she knew in her body that she was healed. What's interesting is that the text tells us what she knew. It doesn't tell us everything. Mm. Because as far as she was concerned, the story ends there. The bleeding is stopped. I'm good. Yeah. Until Jesus says, stop. Who touched me? And she's like, crap. Right? Because now we come to see that there is more to her story than just, I have a bleeding problem.
Right.
It's, I have a bleeding problem. And because of this, I have no husband. I have no children. Mm. I have no family. Mm. I have no community. I am an outcast. And she thinks that as long as I can just get my bleeding stopped, that's certainly necessary. But Jesus is aware that that's not the biggest part of the text of her novel that she's been writing.
Yeah.
And so her suffering includes the awareness of a story of, like, I don't belong to anybody.
Yeah.
I'm nobody's wife, mother, or daughter. And so this is crucially important. But then once we identify that, once we start to do the work that we do, and what's important is, like, I don't do that work about telling that story differently by myself. I can't do it. My brain does not do it by itself very well. Mm. I need to have somebody else in the room who will begin to imagine a different story. The woman, she imagined a particular story about how this was going to go.
Yeah.
She didn't expect Jesus to begin to imagine things way beyond her capacity to imagine. Mm. And this is why we need others who are in the room who can imagine beyond what our imaginations are able to actually accomplish in order for us to catch up and practice with this, which then gets to the next piece. So we suffer largely because we keep telling a story about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And then once we begin to take the risk of telling a different story, we're going to discover that that's going to be, like, it's going to be joyous, it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to have elements of it that are painful. Mm. And as long as I want to continue to grow in being formed into the image of Jesus, he will always be at the ready to peel one layer after another of my addictions off of me.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a lifetime process. Even that is difficult, but when I'm doing this in the room with other people who are helping me to do that, and I'm helping them to do the same thing, we all discover that there is beauty and there is joy in learning how to do the work, because we know that the work leads to our ever deepening felt sense of being loved. And that sense is going to be more deeply felt and sensed tomorrow than it is even today.
Wow. I tell you what, Dr. Kurt, that's why I absolutely love just sitting back and listening to you, because you are a wealth of wisdom and knowledge, and you're such a deep thinker, and you make me sit here and think about so many individuals that maybe I've sat across from in life, and I've experienced, you know, these types of self-inflicted wounds in my own personal life and the narratives that I tell myself. And I think oftentimes, you wrote a book called The Soul of Shame, right? How that voice, that internal voice of shame says, if you really knew me, Kurt, if you knew what I did behind closed doors, if you knew what I said, if you knew the way that I treated my family, so on and so forth, maybe a man out there saying those things today, living that life of shame, that life of brokenness, that life of hiddenness, because if you really knew me, you wouldn't accept me, or you wouldn't love me, or you wouldn't think I belong. Dr. Kurt, I know you only have a couple moments left, but I would love if you could just share a pressing word, a final thought of hope to the person out there today who maybe does feel discouraged or disappointed with where they're at. They feel deflated, almost to the point of feeling defeated, Kurt. What's the last word of hope that you want to leave with that individual, that man on the other side of this screen?
Well, I would invite our listener to imagine this. I don't have some magic word that's going to, like, change somebody's life forever. Yeah. What I do have is an invitation. Mm. And I would say, if this is the first time a listener has listened to you, perhaps they've had a moment in the course of this conversation that you and I have had, they've had a moment in which they felt something that is different than what they're used to. They have felt some sense of relief, some sense of curiosity, some sense of something that is different from despair. Mm. They have not just spent the last 30 or 40 minutes continually drowning in a well of despair, if they're listening to us, at some moment, something's happened.
Yeah.
And if that something has happened and you have a certain felt sense of relief, I want to tell you that interpersonally and neurobiologically, those are moments on which hope is built.
Mm.
And what would I want you to do? I would want you between now and the end of the day, between now and tomorrow, between now and the next 7 days, I would like you to go back and repeat. I want you to go find those moments, and I want you to begin to practice paying attention to what it's like for you to be in that space in which comfort and confidence is what you're experiencing.
Mm.
And I want you to practice that over and over and over again. It may last for 30 seconds. And so I want you 3 times a day to remind yourself and go back and revisit this over and over and over again. We think that despair is just a thing that we have.
Right.
In fact, it is not. Mm. Despair is a thing that we practice.
Mm.
And we practice it by paying attention to small images, sensations, feelings, the videos that we run. We pay attention to small sections of those videos, and we just run them over and over and over and over again. So much so that we don't have any sense that this is anything other than one long continual movie that is playing over which we have no agency. Without our recognizing that we are the ones who are actually playing the movie.
Wow.
But if you've had a moment in this time here with us,
yeah,
those are the moments that I want you to revisit.
Mm.
Not unlike the Sabbath, where we are every 7 days, we are invited to sit and immerse ourselves in the memory of the story of who do we belong to?
Mm.
And what does it mean for us to rest in the sovereignty and the kingship of the Lord Jesus?
Mm.
These are not, and I will tell you this, like, these are not hard, these are not complicated things to do, like this little assignment.
Yeah.
It's not complicated, but I will tell you, most listeners will not want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it takes the kind of effort that is not necessarily rewarded in the same way that you're rewarded with the next thing on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's going to ask you to do that kind of work, not just like big messages.
Yeah.
But it makes available for folks moments of interaction from which we can draw awareness that we're loved.
Mm.
And not just because it's a thing that I know as a fact, but because of a thing that I feel in my chest, and I know it's real when I do.
So powerful, Dr. Kurt, that despair is not just something that you have. Despair is something that you practice. And I love what you're saying. If you've experienced a moment or just a pocket of relief, of comfort, of confidence, even a moment in this conversation today, to go and revisit it. And just like despair is a practice, hope can be a practice too. Form that hope in your life today. Dr. Kurt Thompson, my friend, thank you just so much for your time. Again, I know you're a busy man. I hope you go and win that next game night, you know, when you enjoy some time with your family, and keep on doing what you're doing, because you're inspiring a lot of people, but you've especially inspired me, my friend. Thank you for joining me today.
Zach, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And with that, my friends, I just wanted to thank Dr. Kurt for his time and for sharing his heart and decades of experience in mental health practice. The man has so much wisdom, and he just has a peace about him. Wouldn't you agree? Well, for my dad, AACC President Dr. Tim Clinton, I'm LLFF co-host Zach Clinton, and we look forward to our next time together with you all. Thank you all for listening. We pray you'd have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.